Well, I'm glad you woke up this morning. I'm glad that you answered your alarm clock and how many of you pressed the snooze button? How many of you did that? Yeah, I know you did. Well, I'm just glad that you are awake this morning. You woke up and you're here today and here to participate in the Great Awakening, which is Happy New Year. Now, some of you might be like, oh, you and Pastor Kathy, you're off your rocker kind of thing. Happy New Year's in a month's time. But, you know, there's calendars everywhere, and different calendars celebrate different events. There's the Mayan calendar, there's the Jewish calendar, there's the fiscal year calendar, and there's that other weird year, the school year. But we celebrate those who follow Jesus, those who are Christians, those who are mini Christs. We celebrate the Christian year. And in the Christian year, we celebrate the annual event of Advent. Advent starts today. My name's Keith Harkin, by the way, and I'm your lead pastor here. If I haven't met you yet, I would love to in the lobby after the service. But I'm excited to start our Advent season. What does Advent mean? What does it prepare us for? What is it that we are expecting during this season? Well, there's two things. The first is the anticipation of the Christ child arriving here on earth, and the other is the preparation for the second coming of Christ on the last day. And we have done this for over 2,020 years. We have celebrated this annual event. Some of you, after 2021 and the year of darkness and uncertainty, are excited to celebrate Advent. Amen? Yeah. You're excited to prepare yourselves for the coming of the Christ child. And so the way we're going to do that over the next 4 weeks is we are going to, as Dee Dee mentioned in the announcement, she mentioned that we are going to be using this little book from Seabed called The Christian New Year. And that's going to be our series for the next 4 weeks as we prepare ourselves for the Christ child. It's called The Christian New Year. And four of the sermons are going to be out of this book, out of the scriptures in this book. Some of you are gathering in small groups and different devotional times. I'll be leading one, and we're going to reflect on this. Now, it's the 28th of November. There's 25 devotions. So we start this on what day? No, December the 1st, somebody said it over here. December the 1st, because there's 25 days, so we're going to prepare ourselves. 1st of December. I know it's a little confusing. The Christian New Year is not perfect. But the 1st of December is when you'll start this, and then we'll cover it over the next four weeks, and then we'll finish on the 25th of December. And J.D. Wall has been an impact on my life. I've had his devotions for the last 5 years of my life, and they've been an amazing impact on me. So this year, I wanted to share that with you and make sure that you are impacted by it too. But I wonder what calendar that you live by. What calendar, what diary, we call it a diary sometimes, do you live by? What is it that keeps you on track? In the last service, one of the guys said to me, the only thing on my calendar today is what happens at 1 o'clock, which is Bucks game. Yeah. And we need all the support there, of course. But what is it, the calendar that you live by? Now, by a show of hands, who lives by as the calendar on the phone? Who does that? A couple of you. Who has the old-fashioned kind, the notepad? A couple of you. Who doesn't really care and you wait for somebody else to tell you what to do? I was speaking to somebody else the other day out here in the parking lot, and they were telling me that their job is to coordinate digital calendars. They coordinate digital calendars around the country. And she says, oh, it got really confusing. So I eventually bought a physical calendar to coordinate all my digital calendars. The calendar is really important. The calendar, how we see our life, is really important. It's important that we orientate our life. And if you look at your calendar, if you write everything in your calendar, it'll tell you what's a priority for you or what's important for your life. Now, some of you know that I wasn't always a pastor. I didn't always, preach. And that I used to be in the Royal Navy. Some of you know that. Not everybody knows that. But I used to be in the Navy. And the first thing I did was to drive a ship. Only it wasn't like this. This is an old wheel that you used to, to steer the ship left or right. Now, most ships don't have a wheel like this anymore. In fact, they have like more of an Xbox controller kind of thing to steer the ship. But on my first ship, I was in charge of making sure the ship went the right direction. And driving a ship in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle watch, is the most boring thing ever. Normally, you orient the ship in a particular way. The captain gives you orders. And it's normally 270, west at 10 knots. Set the auto wheel and, the little Xbox kind of control, and you click that thing in and leave it on autopilot, and off it goes. You can unclick it and turn it to manual, and you can turn the ship. And, of course, the wheel turns the rudder, and the rudder makes the ship go left or right, port or starboard. This particular night, there was only two of us on the bridge where you steer the ship. And whilst I was steering the ship, I noticed that the officer of the watch fell asleep. As a young lad, that meant that I can now fall asleep. And both of us were steering a 4,000-ton warship whilst both of us were asleep on the bridge. Only the wheel was in manual. Now, I know that some of you, not all of you, because most of you are law-abiding citizens, sometimes you can steer your car with your knees, I know some of you do that. Not everybody, but I know some of you do that. Well, I knocked the wheel of the warship 1 degree. Only 1 degree, not a lot, just 1 degree. And then we both fell asleep. Mercifully, somebody walked up onto the bridge where we were steering and walked by me. And as he walked by my chair, he knocked the chair and I woke up. And that woke up the officer of the watch. The officer of the watch jumped up and ran over to the chart table to make sure we were on track. And he was like, what the heck's going on? Kind of thing. And of course, he felt bad that he was asleep and I didn't want him to let me know because he's going to like tell on me kind of thing and charge me or whatever. So we just like pretended we were on course. And we gone off course. 270 was the course. We'd gone off course a mile. We'd been asleep for that long that the 1 degree difference made a mile difference all the way down here. In fact, we had to change our course to get back on course that the captain had ordered. I don't think the captain figured out that we were off course. He was asleep. That's all captains do, by the way, they sleep. And we had wandered off course a mile purely because the wheel was off by 1 degree. And this is what was happening in Rome. In the scripture that we're using today, we're in Romans 13. Paul was teaching the Romans about obeying the law. He was teaching the Romans about authorities. Paul is responsible for communicating the gospel all around the Mediterranean, Greece, and Italy. And particularly now, he's in Rome, writing to Rome and letting them know how to get back on course. So we're in Romans chapter 13. If you've got a physical Bible, there's one in front of you. You can open it there. If not, open your app. Open your app and go to Romans chapter 13. It's in the second half of your Bible, Romans after Acts. Romans chapter 13. And I want to give you an overview before we get to the meat of it. What's going on? Rome, being a Roman Christian, is kind of difficult. If you're a Roman Christian, you're living under Roman authorities, but you are following the way of Jesus. Not as easy as it is being a resident of Palm Harbor and following Jesus, right? And he says to them, look, I know it's difficult, but you need to follow the authorities. God's put them in a particular place of authority, and you've got to follow the authorities. He says, you must do well in paying, because God's placed them there. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do wrong. So they were living in fear of the authorities. And Paul says to them, if you're not doing wrong, you have nothing to fear. He says, live for the authorities so you don't have to fear. And then he says to them, yes, you have to pay taxes. You have to pay taxes because this is why God has placed them there. They are serving God. It says they are serving God in what they do. So pay your taxes. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, what about if the authorities are unrighteous? What about if the authorities don't agree with my ideas or what Christ would want? Then that's a different sermon for another day. But he says, God's placed these people in authority. You want bad leaders and bad authority? Look through the rest of your Old Testament. He says, they've been placed there for a reason. So pay your taxes. Pay those. In fact, he says further on than that, he says, you want to live right. You want to live good. I'm going to quote Jesus, says Paul. He says, if you want to live right and live good, you want to sum up the law. He says, love your neighbor as yourself, which is a direct quote from Leviticus and is also quoting what Jesus said, which summed up all the law. It's the royal law, in fact, of all faiths. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would to yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. So he sums it all up nice and neat. And then we get to the meat of this particular scripture. I'm reading out of the NLT. He says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What's more urgent? What is Paul talking about when he says it's urgent? Is he talking about what time it is? Like you might be thinking, not all of you, you might be thinking right now, when am I getting out of here? When's he going to shut up? He's not talking about the clock. He's talking about our calendar. He's saying it's urgent right now that you work out your salvation, even more so from when you first believed, even more so when you first tasted, when you first understood the love of God and what it meant to you in your life. He says it's real urgent. It's real important that you pay attention to your calendar because time is running out. If we looked at each other's calendars, what does it say about us? What does it say that's important? Now, maybe you're like me, you don't write everything on your calendar and the important stuff you're going to do anyway. But if you're one of those people that fills out everything, I'm going to sleep at this time, I'm going to go to worship at this time, I'm going to do my recreation at this time. If I looked at your calendar, what does it say about you? What does it say that's important? What does it say that's urgent? Paul said, this is urgent. It's nearer now than when you first believed. When was it urgent for you? What did it feel like when you first tasted, when you first seen, when you first heard how much Jesus loved you and how much God wanted to know you more than you ever realized? Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember? Oh, yeah, I remember that. And maybe for you, it was a long time ago. Maybe you've never heard before that actually Jesus died for you and he died on the cross and came to this earth just for you. Maybe today is the day that you wake up to that. And he says to the Romans, he says to them, you have to wake up. Wake up to this reality. The night is almost gone, he says. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. He says, wake up. Wake up because you've gone off course. Maybe it's only a degree. Maybe it's 2 degrees. Maybe it's 5 degrees. But you fell asleep. You fell asleep in 2021, and you've gone off course, and somebody needs to nudge you on the way by and say, hey, wake up. Wake up. You got to come back on course. It might take you a lot of time. It might take a short amount of time, but you got to get back. 270. Let's go. It's urgent right now. I was new to the faith, and I was listening to a preacher get really excited about this, and he was preaching on in Ephesians 5:13, you know, wake up, for the time is now here. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And he was getting really excited, and I'd fell asleep at the back, and I was like dribbling, and you know, I was like wanting really sleep, you know, and my head was on the thing like this, and my friends kept knocking me, like, wake up, and I'm like this, and the preacher's getting really excited, and the time has come to wake up, and I was like, bah! Maybe for some of us, we need a knock. Maybe for some of us, we just need a little dig. Maybe there needs to be this foghorn to go off in the middle of the night to wake you up to the new calendar year. Maybe for some of you, something needs to happen, or something has happened that's helped you redirect your life, that's helped you get back on course. In the first service, a woman came up to me and she's like, Happy New Year. I'm so glad I'm here. This is so right. I've been waiting to come back all year. What is it for you that would nudge you, that would help you to get back on track? What is it that's going to put you back, bring daylight back into your life? He says, the night has gone. You don't have to deal with the things that are in the past. You don't have to dwell on them. You don't have to think about them. We have to rewire our neurons so that it affects us mentally. We have to help ourselves understand our emotions. You see, when Christ comes into your life and when you accept what Jesus has done for you, this affects you in your head. It affects what you think about yourselves. It affects how you feel about yourselves. It helps you understand how you're feeling. It helps the relationships around you. It helps you physically. You feel stronger. You feel more present in life. And it affects you spiritually. Amen? This is good news. This is good news that we anticipate, that we prepare for. And we prepare ourselves for Christ's coming. And it's good news for me. And by the way, if it's good news for me, it's good news for those around us, those who are in our lives. Like, oh, I kind of like being around her. She's different. She's woke up a little. He said that to me. I feel better about myself already. There must be something different in that person. Maybe they've woken up to something new in their life. Maybe they've woke up and redirected their course so they're back on course with Christ. When Jesus wakes us up, we understand who we are in our lives. We understand what Christ has done for us. Paul says, it's like shining armor. Now, in Palm Harbor, there's not much shining armor around, right? But in Rome, there was shining armor everywhere, and they feared it. In fact, when you've seen the shining armor coming down the street and the medallions on the Roman army coming forward, you were in fear. Paul says, when you are woke up to the relationship with Jesus Christ, you're like shining armor, not discreet, not hiding, like, oh no, I'm a Christian. He's like, look at this. Look what Christ has done in my life. It's shining so bright. He says, you are like shining armor. When you are woke up, when you have awakened to the relationship with Christ, when you have realized that you need to get back on course. And this is what we need in our calendars today. This Advent season, this Advent time, this position in our calendar is when we realize that we need to wake up to who Jesus is in our life. We need to wake up to what he's doing in our life. We need to wake up to what he's done in our lives. We need to follow the light. Sometimes we need a refresh. Sometimes you need a redo, a reawakening. Sometimes it's like a bad website. You're on a bad website and you get the circle of death, you know? Sometimes we need to refresh our faith. Sometimes we need something new to nudge us to a place where we can experience Christ in a new way. A wake up, a refresh, a new software update overnight that'll reset. And this, even if you are new to understanding who Jesus is, we need this constantly in our lives. To be aware of who we are, to be aware of who God is. And God reveals to us who we are, and as we understand more of ourselves, we give more of ourselves to what we understand about God. And we give that to God, and God continues to refresh us, reboot us, give us a new website, a new software pattern. And he continues to do that. We call that sanctification in the Methodist Church. We call it that Wesley wants us to continue to move on in our relationship with Christ. And every 12 months, we get a reboot. We get a reawakening to what Christ is all about. We light candles about it. We do new curriculum about it so that we would see God in a new way, a fresh awareness. He says, you're given new clothes. Clothe yourselves with something new. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Put on something that says, I'm doing something different. So how do we do this? How do we awaken ourselves? How do we reawaken ourselves so that we are woke to Christ Jesus in us? How do we understand who we are in Christ's eyes? What is it that we do that can possibly do something new in our lives? How do we understand who Jesus is today in 2021? I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Those of you who raised your hand and said that you do your calendar on your phone, take it out. Take it out and do what I ever do. I do every 3 seconds every day. Check your calendar. Open your calendar and look at it and say to yourself, how do I prioritize my life? And then I want you to look at that. And if you're a paper calendar person and you haven't got it with you because you don't want to carry the whole thing around, imagine what your calendar says. Imagine what your calendar says this week. Imagine what it says for 2022. And what I want you to do is to bring your phone with you, open at the calendar, and come down the front with it. You can kneel at the rails or you can kneel at the steps here. We had a guy in the last service, he came with his walker and he knelt down the front with his calendar. I want you to bring your phone, your calendar, and bring it down the front and give it up to Jesus and say, Lord, show me how I can realign with you, how I can reawaken my faith. Show me how what I need to get back on course, what nudge I need to get back on course, to get back in a relationship with you. Show me how I can hear you and taste you and feel you anew in this season of Advent. So I'm going to pray, and if you wish to, you can come up front. I'm going to strongly encourage, bring your phone up front. And if you want someone to pray with and for you, Pastor Kathy and a couple of others will be here to pray for you, and you lift your hands up like this. If you just want to come down the front and pray and kneel and give your priorities, just put your hands over like this. But bring your calendar. Bring your calendar in your head. Bring your calendar in your phone. And ask God to reawaken you. Because when we understand who Jesus is, when we are reawakened, when we are realigned, when we are knocked back on course, it's a happy new year. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you today with our priorities. We come before you today with our urgencies. We come before you with those things that we think are most important in life. We bring to you our phones, our calendars, our priorities, and we lay them at your feet and ask, Lord, that our salvation would be so urgent to us. We ask in this season of Advent, in this new year, that you would awaken us to where we need realigning, Lord. That you would awaken us to a new, fresh idea of who you are. Speak to us today, Lord. Speak to us, nudge us, show us who you are, afresh and new in 2021. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all of those who want to be awakened say, amen.